Okay, I want to begin by turning to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. It tells us something about what we are to be, who we are, what we are. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. And you may want to, later on I'm going to come back to that verse, so you may want to just mark it, and because I will ask you to go back there. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, it says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." The word ambassadors means a representative of Christ. We are, in fact, God's word translation will say this, same verse. It will say, "Therefore, we are Christ's representatives, and through us, God is calling you." Interesting concept that you know, Paul's speaking. He's saying that through us, God is calling you. In other words, we can be an instrument of God's calling other people. Representatives. So I like to sort of personalize this. Therefore, you can put in your name there, Ronnie, Angela, Greg, or Janie, or whoever. You are Christ's representative. And through you, God is calling others. In other words, maybe our prayer should be, "Lord, make me an ambassador. Make me a representative of you." And, you know, it's something I have to admit, I don't think about that a lot. I have been lately, though. I've been thinking about it a little bit more since I've been reading this and looking at this verse. And in a way, this changes everything to be an ambassador for Christ. It changes everything. And I think the devil knows that it changes everything. There was a song a long time ago by The Who entitled, "Who Are You?" I really want to know. And when we think about, okay, who are you? Let's think about this verse in Genesis that says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness." That's who you are. And again, you can personalize that. You can say, "And God said, let us make David," or "let us make Sandy in our own image, after our own likeness." And so you wake up every morning and you think, okay, I am created in the image of God. You know, who am I? What am I? What am I to be doing today as I go out into the world knowing that I am a representative of Christ and I've been created in the image of God? So I want to go through how maybe we can be a better ambassador of Christ. First point, accept no limitations. Accept no limitations. And I might would say, well, you're limited. Often we put limitations on ourselves constantly. We think, I can't do that. Who am I? I'm nobody. But why would I say that, accept no limitations? Well, because I believe that God accepts no limitations about you. There was a little saying that I heard Ron Dart use one time. He said, "God did not call you in spite of your weakness. He called you because of your weakness." That little statement was fascinating to me because instead of God looking down and saying, "Oh boy, he's weak, I can't use him," or he's, you know, God did not call you in spite of your weakness. He called you because of. He saw something that he could use, that he could turn around and make great. Now, here's the thing about an ambassador for Christ, accepting no limitations. If God can use, I heard this last week by Greg and Tim and Sandy, if God can use a jackass, he can use you. We got to put that on the sign, by the way. "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done to you that you have smitten me these three times?" You always want to keep that in mind. If God can use a jackass, he can use me. If God can use rocks to communicate, he can use you. A little story, you remember, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, then the stones would immediately cry out." He can use rocks. If God can use a slow, forgetful, tongue-tied stutterer, He can use you. Remember Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I'm not a good speaker. I've never been a good speaker, and I'm now not a good speaker. I speak slowly and become tongue-tied very easily. He had all these excuses, you know, but accept no limitation. If God can use a mass murderer, he can use you. Paul said, I persecuted people who followed the way of Christ. I tied up men and women and put them into prison, and they were executed. So, you know, what kind of limitations are you going to use? Accept no limitations. Okay, how to be a representative of Christ, an ambassador for Christ. Second thing is, on a daily basis, make the right choices. Life is full of choices that we have to make every day. You know, how many choices come our way during a 24-hour period? A lot of choices. And making the right choices will bring about the kind of life that we're all looking for. And I sometimes think that maybe the reason our lives are not what they're meant to be or supposed to be is because in a given period, a day, if we've made, let's say, 100% of our choices, maybe 60% were wrong choices. And that can lead to, making the wrong choice can lead to an unhappy experience in life, where there is lack of joy, where there is not the happiness, not the peace, not the contentment, not the love of God in your heart, not the fruit of the Spirit, because on a daily basis, I'm not making the right choices. So an ambassador for Christ will make the right choices on a daily basis. Psalm 16 and verse 11, I think, let's turn there. It describes the life that we all desire. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says this. It says, you will show me the path of life. Notice this. God, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That sounds like some good stuff there to me. I mean, that's what I want. I mean, this is powerful. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. That's the kind of life, you know, I want to have it. So if I'm lacking these things, I might conclude that some of the choices that I'm making on a daily basis are not the right choices. So a representative is confronted with of Christ, a representative of Christ, is making daily the right choices. Something you think about, something that you plan for. You get up and you think, okay, I'm going to be confronted with choices today. I need to make the right ones. You ever thought about the misery that can come about by making the wrong choice, just one choice, wrongly? You know, the story of the Garden of Eden. You know, what was it? It was one choice. And it was a miserable experience. All right, can we understand that in our personal life, on a daily, you know, a daily living our lives, that one choice can make a miserable experience? Back in Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn there, but where it goes through the blessings and the curses, it says, and it shall come to pass if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe all that I have commanded you, all these blessings shall come upon you. So if we look at this from a personal level, and we say, okay, if I want blessings poured out upon me, I'm going to have to, on a daily basis, make the right choices that come my way. On the other hand, it talks about, you know, if you don't do all the things that I'm wanting you to do, all these curses will come upon you. So if my life is not all it's cracked up to be, if there's things that I know that's missing, again, I have to conclude on a daily basis, maybe there are choices that I'm making that come my way every day, however many, 80 or 100 choices that I may be making poorly. Because God comes along and says, look, this is the way I want it to be. I want it to be an incredible experience of the fruits of the Spirit, of joy, of happiness, of contentment, of blessings that are poured out upon you. So as an ambassador makes the right choices on a daily basis. What will give you the confidence that you need? What will give you the joy? What will give you happiness? What will give you peace of mind? What will give you the love of God in your heart? It is these choices that we make on a daily basis. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures evermore. That's what we're after. So our daily and ultimate goal should be to make the right choices. Unless I want to keep living a miserable experience. And I just keep what I'm doing. Keep on doing what I'm doing. And the good thing for us is we have the Holy Spirit will guide you. You know, if I was talking to a group of people that didn't have the Holy Spirit, it might be tough to make the right choices. But we have the indwelling presence of the God Spirit. And so that Spirit guides and directs us. And I do believe it's a still, small, quiet voice. And I do believe that it's often something that we overlook. In other words, you know, we pass it by. We don't really think about, okay, what has that Spirit just conveyed to me? And I think God is willing to help us in even small areas that we might take for granted. Teresa was talking about that earlier in the week, or just yesterday, that how that when you look at something and you think you ought to do it, and then you don't do it, and you regret it later. Little things like that. You know, I've told her the story about going to the warehouse, and my focus will go on a couple of gas cans, and I think I should bring those gas cans, or one anyway, and then I'll say, forget about it. And I'll get on the job, and the workers will say, we just ran out of fuel. And I'm thinking, why did I look at that? You know, there's little small things like this that God is willing to help. So if the Spirit works like that, we're going to have to be in tune to the little small things in order to get our lives to work. It's because if we don't get our lives to work, we'll go through life in an unhappy experience or a miserable experience where we're not experiencing the fruit of God's Spirit, the joy of being a Christian. I mean, shouldn't it be a joy? Well, it should be. It should be a pleasant experience. Now, I know there's some tough things we have to go through, but still, even the tough times, we should have the grace to get through those areas. Okay, an ambassador, a representative of Christ. I want to talk a little bit, although this may not be as important, but it has its place. The law of attraction. And I'm not talking about just physical appearance, but we all have a law of attraction. And obviously, if you're going to be an ambassador for Christ, you want to have that, don't you? I mean, you want people to you don't want people to run from you. Now, there are people that I have avoided like the plague. I was in an airport one time, and I looked, and I realized the busyness of the hustle and bustle of the airport was leading me right toward the religious type. Now, how did I know he was religious? Well, he had a funny thing on his head. I think he had stuff hanging off of him, and he, a robe or something. I don't know, but he just, I knew that was a religious person. And so I immediately deviated and made my way back around, and of course went to the store pretending like I'm looking at stuff, and went around this person just to avoid it. So I'm saying that's not what you want. The law of attraction, you want people to, you know, you want to attract people. I had an aunt who's dead now. Her name is Aunt Lib, and she was the type of person that, you know, if she came into the room, you'd recognize her. You would stop and notice her. And even I remember when she went to an assisted living home, she always would, must have been the first thing she did every morning, is her hair was always, everything was in place, latest fashion of clothes. And it's just the way she lived her life. And I don't know, it's just, it was something about that. And that, like I said, you would notice her if she came into the room. I think she probably believed that she was and knew she was created in the image of God, and maybe took that personally. Anyway, does the Bible say anything about that? Well, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 8, it does say this. In a King James Version, it says, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 8, it says, "Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no ointment." The contemporary English version says, "Dress up, comb your hair, and look your best." The Good News Bible says, "Always look happy and cheerful." The God's Word translation says, "Always wear clean clothes and never go without lotion on your head." The Young's literary translation says, "At all times let your garments be white, and let not perfume be lacking on your head." In other words, you know, slap on some cologne. Yeah, have you ever noticed that? I notice people when they smell good. Have you ever noticed that? If someone's got some nice cologne on, it's an attraction. I mean, it is for me. Of course, the Freemans have this obsession with smell. You know, I don't know what that is, but we smell everything. You know? Someone hands us a book, says, "Read this. First thing we're going to do is smell it." But but that is, I mean, it is, again, as an ambassador, you want people to, if we are to ever communicate or anything, we do want people to use the law of attraction. If we're created in the image of God, and we really have to think about what that means. You know, you get up every morning and you think, I'll take Ronnie, for example. Ronnie gets up every morning, he looks in the mirror and he says, "Ronnie was created in the image of God. And I'm going out today as an ambassador for Christ." I mean, that's powerful stuff. I mean, to think about that kind of responsibility. And I think these little areas will influence your work relationship, your marital relationship, your friendships, your co-workers. You can have a greater impact. In John 6 and verse 44, I want you to turn there, because this has often been used as an excuse to do nothing. John 6 and verse 44. And I want to mention something that maybe you haven't thought about. It says, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." Now, I've heard that used. People will look at that and say, "Well, you see, I can't do anything because God's not calling. He's not drawing that person." And I think it's led to a lot of inactivity and outreach because of that kind of thinking. Because most of churches of God, they really do revolve around, if it's an organized church, it revolves around one person doing the outreach and the other 1,000 supporting that one person. I've always had a problem with that. I think everybody can have some form of outreach ministry. I mean, I know Rick and Linda, they're not here today, but they have a prison, maybe you don't know this, but they have a prison ministry where they're always on a continuous basis corresponding with prison inmates through letter writing, and they may visit also. But again, that, I like that, because it shows that a person can, instead of just sitting around thinking, "I can't do anything," you know, everybody can have a part in this. So the attitude sort of been, well, unless God's calling, there's nothing I can do, and we'll just have to catch him in the second resurrection. You know, God will take care of that in the second resurrection. All right, think about that verse. "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." Now, I don't know if you did it or not, but if you did save your place, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, the King James is worded a little bit different. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." The God Word translation says, "Therefore, we are Christ's representatives, as through us, God is calling you." In other words, Paul understood that there is a dynamics that a person can have, that God uses other people in his calling of others. In other words, the attraction God can use to draw other people to himself is you. Yeah. That's amazing. Think about that. The attraction God can use to call others is you. Maybe you are their gateway into the kingdom. Now, I know there's a lot of variables that we can talk about, and I understand God has to open hearts and minds. And I understand that we have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But, and here's the problem I struggle with, being a representative, an ambassador, it really is all about people. Oh boy. Now, I used to do better. When God first called me, I can remember going to a job to measure for stonework, and before I got to the home, I pulled off on the road. I said, God, if you're calling this person, let me be an instrument. And I went out and measured the job, talked to the guy. And I guess it's maybe 20 years of, well, I sort of let that slip, that response. And, you know, you can get burnt out. But I should have never lost that. I don't think any of us should lose that attitude. If we are an ambassador, if we really are a representative, should I have lost that attitude of just going out and saying, I guarantee you God's not calling that person? You know, and that's not right. We should keep this hope up. Maybe there's a once-in-a-lifetime chance that a person will meet an ambassador for Christ. I think this is how important we should view ourselves. Are you the one-time chance of a person meeting a representative for Christ? Now, the importance of people. How important are people to God? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I would say important enough to die for. That's pretty important. And the hurdle some of you may have to jump, I really have to jump this one. Maybe the life we have to leave behind is somewhat of the self life, but we have to come to the point where we realize. Let me get that out. People are more important than your job. People are more important than your time. People are more important than your hobby. People are more important than your goals. People are more important than your success. That's the tough one for me. I mean, if we are a gateway, if God would do that, would call another individual through you, as that scripture implies. Now, an ambassador for Christ. What did Jesus say about his elect, his chosen, his representatives? Well, and we got to realize this. He said, you are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's what Jesus said. He said, and the world will hate you because you are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So, as an ambassador, you don't exist just to get along with people. Oh, I've got 100 friends. I don't care. Are you an ambassador for Christ? That's the thing. That's the issue. Are you representing Christ? In other words, you do not represent this world's values, traditions, philosophies, practices, religion, or even teachings, as far as that goes. In other words, it's like Mike said, it takes a determination to do this stuff, to realize, okay, I'm not of the world. The world will hate you. And I'm not representing what's going on down here. I'm representing something else, a kingdom that's coming to this earth and is going to take over and put down man's government. Whew. Okay, an ambassador. I want to talk about weeding out the chaff. Weeding out the chaff. People will be attracted to you because you are an ambassador, a representative. They'll be attracted to you for all the wrong reasons also. They may like the way you look. They may like, you put on a cologne, they might like the way you smell. You get fixed up every day, they might like the way you look, you know, whatever. You got nice clothes, they might like that also. There will be a dynamics about you compelled with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that causes people to like you for all the wrong reasons. Okay, so being a representative of Christ is to, you want to make an effort to weed out the chaff. How do we weed out the chaff? Okay, very important part here. In your relationships with people, you begin to overlay segments of God's law upon that person. In other words, you begin to impose, very gently, segments of God's law. You talk about it. You mention it. Not very gently at first. In other words, if I had, let's say I had Mike up here and I had a string, and I began to wrap Mike in circles with that string, round and round in circles with that string. You know, a string is easy to break. But once it, you get enough around it, you're, and a lot of people don't like that. They want to break loose from that as you begin to impose certain things about the Word of God. They immediately, oh, you're trapping me. Again, you don't want people just to like you just for the sake of liking you. Like I said, you know, I mean, if your goal is just to make friends, to win friends and influence people, then okay, that's okay. But again, we've been called to be an ambassador for Christ, to represent Christ. So let me explain it a little bit more what I'm talking about. I heard a story one time of a minister who was talking to a woman. She was sort of on her way. Maybe God was beginning to open her mind up. And she was in poor health. And she would always call, and I used to have a woman like that, would always call and tell me how bad she felt. Every single, you know, one time is every day. I was up on the, at work, you know, up on the scaffold, the phone would ring, and that time I had my phone hooked to my horn on my truck. And I'm down in a, what I call a hole in the ground, you know, 30 feet in the air working on scaffold. And I hear my truck is parked way up on the hill. I hear that thing going off. And I ran up there and answered the phone, and it was this woman, and she wanted to tell me how bad she felt. Another time, it was really funny, I was in a restaurant. I had my, the restaurant's closed now, but I had the wall of the restaurant was right here, and I parked right there. And for some reason, I'm eating on the other side of that wall. And I hear this horn blowing. I thought, what's the craziest thing? I hear the horn. And all of a sudden, I realize it's my horn blowing. I let that one go. You know. But that was the craziest thing, to have a phone hooked to your horn. I mean, whoever designed that, I don't know. I mean, just forget it. But this woman was also, she had been, you know, the minister, she understood God's dietary laws. But guess what? She didn't want to keep them. And she would call the minister and, you know, I'm really feeling bad. I'm sick. And he finally said, he said, look, he said, I've told you what the Bible teaches. You know what God's word says about the dietary laws and health. Don't call me anymore unless you're willing to do this part first. Now, that's a powerful example. Now, it may sound a little bit cruel, but again, the goal is you begin to overlay segments in your relationships with people. You overlay segments of God's law upon the person. You begin to impose very gently segments of God's law. Your goal is not just, you know, again, to be a representative. It's like the bum on the street with the will work for sign, will work for food sign. You know, you go by and you say, well, look, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. That's what the Bible says. Here, let me give you a job. And he takes off running because he'd rather get the free handout of money. And again, I'm amazed at people that I get behind people sometimes in the traffic jams, and the guy's on the busiest place in Roanoke. Right there where Sam's and all that stuff is at. You know, it's all letting out. And I'm amazed at the people who will hand out money and just, you know, here's $5, here's 10, here's 20. I feel like hollering out, sucker! and that's my opinion, I mean. But, again, You're trying to get a person to respond. Now, as an example, Christ's example said this. He said in John 2 and verse 23. Let's turn there. John 2 and verse 23. It reveals what I call a superficial relationship with God. Christ had to deal with this continuously. And I think we will also have to deal with this on a continuous basis, a superficial relationship with God. It says, now when John 2 and verse 23... Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast days, many believed in his name. Notice that. Many believed in his name. You know, we just believe in the name of Jesus. Just believe Jesus, you know. They believed in his name. And then it tells why they believed. When they saw the miracles, which he did. What did they believe? Well, they were fascinated with the miracles. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man. For he knew what was in man. I would be willing to say that a lot of your relationships are going to be superficial when it comes to religion, when it comes to God, when it comes to beginning to tie the strings around the person. A lot of them are going to be superficial. Very few probably will allow you to impose God's law upon them. As you begin to overlay segments of God's law upon this person, as you begin to impose segments of God's law, you will find that as an ambassador, instead of having friends, you will probably have many enemies instead. So, in conclusion, I want to close with something Jesus said. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. So what is our job as a representative of Christ? Well, I think it is to weed out the chaff from the wheat and to help identify those who are the chosen of God, to be able to clearly, you know, help a person maybe understand that about themselves, whether they are playing games or whether they are sincere, and to get to not just the called, because many are called, but get to the chosen of God. And to help them come into a relationship with God.